phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And another, and a, you know, me and my family, they're classics. They're huge fans
of the show.
Yeah, I was just I was on the phone with my dad about 3 minutes ago on my cell phone, and at a certain point he pauses. He goes, "What time is it?" I go, "It's a couple minutes of 10." He goes,
"Are you going to bed?"
And I said, "No." That was about 2 years ago. This time it's, then the show started at 9:30. Now, many people would think he must live in a place that doesn't get the show. No. He lives in a place where the show's been on the longest. Los Angeles. Mm. Yeah. Jay Blumenfeld is our guest tonight. He is, are you a documentary filmmaker?
I am. I do a lot, but produce and direct documentaries is something I do.
I happen to love that format, by the way. It is about, it's some, I can watch about 95% of documentaries, but I can only watch about 5% of feature films, maybe less. You know what I mean? Because I no matter what the topics it are, and especially stuff that's on HBO, I just find it provocative and fascinating. And Jay is doing a documentary on ecstasy, and that's going to premiere April 28th, which is, when is that, a couple days?
That's a Sunday night.
Sunday night on HBO. I will TiVo that. So tell us how the documentary goes.
It started as a general doc about ecstasy. We're going to call it Generation Ecstasy and just talk to a bunch of different types of people about what it's like to take ecstasy, why they take it, what the whole scene's about. We ended up following one family up in Northern California. We met a dad who was the son of a preacher, never had had a drink, never had cursed. This was Scott. Up until about a couple weeks before we met him. We met him the first time he was doing ecstasy at a rave with his 19-year-old son.
You met him the first time he'd basically taken any drug.
We were at a rave just shooting, talking to people.
He must have been a drinker.
He was...
He said he hadn't taken a drink.
He hadn't done anything his whole life. He was the perfect small-town guy.
Hmm. All right. So now he's with his 19-year-old son, and he's taking X at a rave.
And he's pretty happy that night.
Right.
And sort of falls in love with the drug as we meet him and we follow him for about 6 months. Mm. And he goes to raves every weekend. All the kids up north at the raves call him Raver Dad. He becomes a character, starts wearing baggy pants and bright orange shirts and just falls in love with the whole thing. And then he's got a 12-year-old and 15-year-old kid. And they sort of, he was extolling the virtues of ecstasy to them because he'd never felt anything like this. They end up doing it with him at a party. His ex-wife finds out. She calls the cops. They search his apartment. He goes to jail. The family basically falls apart before our very eyes. And then sort of comes back together.
Hmm.
So it's sort of a happy ending.
Hmm.
Wow. So
you keep doing drugs?
He's dead now, but the reviews have been good. HBO's happy.
I'm follow 6 feet under, I mean.
And it's
fair.
It's got a good lead-in.
Well, you want to keep the thematic thread going there.
Right.
Yeah. HBO likes their documentaries dark but truthful.
Yeah, I was just watching Hookers on the Verge.
That's dark and truthful.
Yeah, you ever see that, Drew?
Uh-huh.
Well, first off, it's amazing at what you can do because you're calling it a documentary that you couldn't do. I mean, it's basically they take hookers and they put they mic them up and they send them. These are streetwalkers. They're not plants, but they mic them up and they go into these cars and they're sitting there and they're talking to the Johns and you're hearing oral sex. You're seeing heads bobbing up and down.
The car shake and shake.
Yeah. I always. You know these Johns, you know the guys, half of them are just driving like a Ford Taurus or a Ford Explorer or something. They blur out the license plate. But if they're old ladies home watching, they see the beige 93 Taurus and they hear the familiar voice coming from the passenger seat. And they do a little of that math with the, working late nights. They put it together pretty quick.
Wow. There's a little Grateful Dead sticker on the back.
Yeah, it's got the dancing bear and the Sierra Club Take a Hike to Hell that she remembers very well. Yeah, I mean, it's like all that Actually, we do it with the Man Show once in a while, too. A lot of that, we're going to disguise you. It's kind of like, it's more like, we're not going to get sued, but they're still going to know who you are.
Oh, my God.
That's basically what that is.
Well, now, Scott, though, you don't start doing drugs and then stop. So what happened to Scott?
Well, he's sort of mellowed out. I mean, this all happened fairly, the end.
Well, it says something about him having an MRI and showing the brain damage.
No, what happened was we went with Craig, the 19-year-old, because he was getting really in it, too.
Craig's a drug addict.
And we brought the whole family, and they all watched Craig get a brain scan. And sort of the younger kids were almost scared straight out of
seeing the brain damage on Craig.
They saw the brain damage on Craig. Craig kind of realized he should clean up. The younger kids totally realized it, and the only guy who didn't realize it was Scott. And
the dad.
So he's still using.
Ex-dad.
He's still, I'm not really sure.
I mean, he's the one that has the gene. That's why Scott got the gene. So Scott's expressing his disease now, and it's going to go.
So you're able to see negative effects through the MRI with the 19-year-old after how many exposures to ecstasy would you reckon?
A pretty decent amount.
But he hadn't been at it for 5 years, had he? I mean, it'd been more like
a couple of years. But he's also smoking pot almost every day, and that was a lot of the reason for part of the brain problem on his scan. So it was a combination of the two, I think.
Then what does it look like? And is that true, Drew? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're smoking pot, for how long?
Pot's right frontal lobe in teenagers.
And what about the X?
Ecstasy, you see limbic thing. Was it a spec scan or was it an MRI?
It was the thing that looks like there's holes in the brain.
Well, that's in the middle part. That's ecstasy.
Wow.
And
they only need 20 exposures to get that. 20.
He had the brain of a 45-year-old guy, and he's 19.
Yeah. That's what that means?
Said, yeah.
That's the pot. That's a generalized attribute from pot.
Oh. But, Drew, you're 45. You're smart.
Yeah, but I don't want to see my brain.
I wouldn't mind taking a peek at it. I'd drop kick it across the parking lot and then urinate on it. Then I'd sell it on eBay. Drew's brain, everybody. Start the bidding at like $18. See if I can get enough to get a case of beer for the weekend. All right, let's take some calls, and I guess we're going to keep the topic to X and drugs and all that tonight.
Sure, get some of that.
All right. Mark?
Hey.
You're 34?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I guess I've been clean for about a year, but starting about 18 for about 5 years. I know I did more than 20, so I'm kind of wanting to go check out my brain. But
you're talking about ecstasy?
Yeah, it's pretty regular every weekend during the week for probably about 4 or 5 years. And then off and on, meth and real heavy about 3 years ago for a couple of years. And my question was to Dr. Drew, what kind of long-term stuff have I done to myself, and like emotionally or like behaviorally or anything, and is it reversible? And
well, here's what you can expect, and here's what's not reversible. What you can expect is starting to get some panic and anxiety and have difficulty going outside without feeling sort of overwhelmed.
It's been a year, and I'm pretty much okay. I just seem to fly off the handle about every little thing.
Okay. Following that, you get depressed and irritable.
You reckon?
I reckon.
Yeah.
And then you'll typically have persistent memory problems, new learning, short-term memory, that kind of thing. So it's mood disturbances and memory problems that tend to be the most persistent from ecstasy and both amphetamine as well. Okay.
Anything I can do?
Those are dead brain cells. They're
can't rub aloe on your brain or anything like that.
For the most part, does not regenerate. That is
really.
It's over.
Can he jog or something?
What's the best thing you can? What's the best vitamin? Is there a mineral or something? I say you want to clean up your act. Stop drinking coffee. I don't know. Start taking multivitamins. Yoga.
You know,
maybe they start focusing, start.
There's all this crazy stuff about antioxidants. There really is no good evidence to say that stuff works. The fact is, certainly balancing your diet, making sure you're taking appropriate vitamins, exercising regularly. Blood supply to that area is probably more important than anything else, and certainly very high levels of exercise and catecholamines, that sort of thing, enhance that.
Yeah. What about exercising your brain or working your brain out?
It helps you grow new connections. You don't grow new brain, but you grow new connections.
Yeah, like that's why I play play a good game of Stratego on the internet almost every night.
Good.
Stratego! Remember that?
Yeah. How's your majors?
They're protecting my king or something. Let me tell you what a ADD retard I was. I, as a kid, Stratego is this crappy. I didn't even have Stratego. My neighbor, Max Truex, had Stratego. And it's like some, I don't know, what would you go? It's like Battleship, sort of.
Chess meets Battleship meets Checkers.
Yeah, meets Tolstoy or something.
Yeah,
And you got to protect your king or whatever. I couldn't play it in a regular way. We had to play Dart Stratego, which is he would set up his pieces on one side of the room, and I would set mine up on the other side of the room. We would shoot darts out of a dart gun to try to knock over
the king. That wasn't the way the game was designed to be played.
I know, but I'm saying is I had such ADD that the idea of sitting quietly and moving pieces and waiting your turn and not firing something or knocking something down or destroying something was unacceptable to me. So, Dart Stratego.
Good times.
Yeah. Tricia?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my question is for Dr. Drew, and my question is female ejaculation real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some, for some women, some don't have it, some do. Some have it rarely, some have it frequently.
Okay. So, okay, it is real. I just wanted to know because I've been doing this off and on, and it's not a clitoral orgasm. It's more deep, and sometimes, you know, I was kind of wondering if it was pee or what it was.
Sometimes it is pee, and that's a different thing.
Well, wait a minute. You're having these things. You can't figure out whether it's urine coming out of you or not?
I don't know, because I don't have a test tube, and I can't test it.
Maybe take some vitamins the night before and
eat asparagus.
Asparagus,
at night,
right.
And
yeah.
Then it smells funny after the foam part.
Okay. So eat asparagus, huh?
Or take some vitamins. You know, those make it bright yellow.
Yeah, what about when you pull a booger out of your nose? You got to take it to the lab, or you...
Pretty safe
on the fact that it might just be a booger.
So are these more intense orgasms when you're having the ejaculate or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of them tell us that it's just a different one. It's not necessarily a more intense one.
Well, what Drew's saying is we would assume that if it's sort of, especially because we're guys, we're just assuming if something's coming out, it must be more powerful than one that doesn't project anything or produce anything. But it appears to be the same. It just, some women can produce something, some women can't, and it doesn't seem to be any more intense.
Right.
But we can't get over that. It still seems like you'd have to give the edge to something flying out.
Yeah, you're producing something.
Yeah.
You created something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Tricia didn't seem to have a real good handle on her vagina. Tricia, what's up with you? Did you go to junior college?
I did.
Yeah.
That's
sorry. I'm sorry, baby. You should sue the state. I smelled a little junior college on you. All right, but you're out of that mess now, right?
Well, I'm going back.
No, why? Well, let me tell you, going back to junior college is like going back to an abusive marriage.
Are you in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
All those great schools around there.
Why would you go back to junior college?
I'm going back for my associates.
Yeah, well, we get that. I understand. It's like let's say I'm going back to college to college.
I thought you just want to score a granola bar at the Snack Shack. I didn't know you were there taking classes. I see you want to get a degree.
I already have my diploma.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
But don't. Why don't you go to a 4-year now?
Well, that's the next step.
Don't push right now.
Okay.
That's gonna get a little heavy.
All right. I'm sorry.
She's got her diploma.
Yeah.
Drew, what do you want?
Seriously, what do you think's worse on the mind, the human mind? The
ecstasy
brain?
Or
junior college system?
Ooh.
I mean, seriously, would you rather have your son at age 18 attend a semester at the local junior college or just do X and rave?
But doesn't JC virtually guarantee you have a bong relationship?
Yes, there's a certain amount of drug use, at least secondhand smoke.
Yeah, so it's sort of, you can't never set, it's like one of these studies where you can't separate out the different factors.
Right.
It's the same.
All right. You know my policy. I want only foreigners going to junior college. They have an excuse for going there. Jay, you must have went to college somewhere.
I did.
The junior, regular?
I went to regular, UC Berkeley.
Yeah, see, look at him. Smart, doing something, his parents are proud. The junior college system should only be utilized by foreigners because, see, they come, A, they work hard in college, but, B, they transfer. They come from other countries, and they have to start at that level. All the round eyes, all the white folks at the junior college are just the crappy high school students who didn't feel like getting a job. That's why it doesn't work for them. I'm going to sort this whole thing out. I'm going to turn most of them into prisons when I'm in charge, Jay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll make you. I'm going to make him in charge of like a documentary film.
Oh, I see. Scared straight from JC.
Yeah, actually, I might make Jay head of my propaganda minister.
I'm there.
John?
Prison films.
You're 23.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I just wanted to say I listen to y'all like every night. I've been trying to get the same situation, someone else's problem. but no one else seems to come up with the same problem I have.
All right. Well, you had to call in then.
Here you go.
Well, I've been seeing this girl about 3 years now. We broke up about a year ago, and we were sexually active. When we got back together, she was ticklish everywhere,
She wasn't before.
She wasn't before. We were very orally active and sexually active.
What happened in that intervening year?
We were only apart for 3 weeks. And in that
hang on a second. Stop. Did I miss something?
I don't know.
Didn't he say they broke up for a year?
I thought he said something about that, but maybe they broke up about the middle of December and then got back together the first week in January.
Or maybe it was a year ago this happened.
A year ago.
I think that's what it was.
Three-week breakup.
A year ago.
All right, so she was very ticklish when he got back together.
Yeah.
But
in 3 weeks, she became...
I couldn't go down on her, and she was ticklish, and...
Well, hold on a second. You not being able to go down on her and her being generally ticklish could be two different things.
Okay.
Did you test her by, giving her the Gucci Gucci Goo or the Bee's Knees or any of that?
Well, before, like...
Did you or did you not give her the Gucci Gucci Goo?
Yeah, I gave her the Gucci Gucci Goo, okay.
No, but I mean... All right, hold on, we got to talk. What I'm saying is she could have broken up. They could have broken up for 3 weeks. She could have got hooked up with some other guy or had a regression therapy and realized that she'd been molested or whatever, then he could have went to give her oral sex and she could have got freaky about it and it could have manifested itself with, no, you know, that kind of thing.
Are you sure it's ticklish or it's right. Just don't go anywhere
yeah.
Near me?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't...
Like, haha, don't go anywhere near me. That sort of ticklish.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Jay, you should be in front of the camera, buddy. Forget about behind the camera. You hear that acting? It was a great simulation of the don't come near me with the laughter. John, do you think it's any... Is there anything like that going on? I mean, did you tickle her under the arms when you were in a non-sexual situation?
No, it's... I used to be able to, like, finger her. I used to be able to go down on her.
Listen, she doesn't want you touching her genitalia is the thing.
Right.
Is she mad at you?
No, we've been together for a year.
Did she start some? Okay, did she start some medication in that intervening time?
No.
New birth control pill?
No, same brand. I mean, 3 months after we got back together, she started a medication for a toe fungus. I don't know if that would have any kind of.
Why did you break up for the 3 weeks?
I was a very confused person.
See, yeah. Maybe some stuff.
Yeah, what happened?
I had problems at school, and dad was coming down on me hard. Work was coming down on me hard. I work full time, go to school full time, and a full time girlfriend, and it was just a lot of stress all at the same time. Plus, I wanted to go have fun. And
hold on a second.
Whoa,
Jesus Christ. Well, first off, here's what I love about doing this show, Jay, is Jay Blumenfeld, by the way, is our guest tonight. He is a documentary filmmaker. He's got a show coming out on HBO Sunday night, or a documentary.
Small Town Ecstasy, yeah.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. But here's what I love most about this show. I go like, she's ticklish, but now we're all getting a little suspicious, right?
Right.
What do you mean ticklish? Gone away for 3 weeks? Now, he originally poses the question of she went away, came back, all of a sudden her whole body was ticklish. As if it's like saying she used to be able to eat chocolate, now she's horribly allergic to chocolate, right?
Yeah.
But we're all getting a little suspicious. We're on the same page, which is she doesn't want him monkeying around below the belt. So, like, Jay, is she does she do that when you're having sex, or is she ticklish when you're in a non-sexual situation, like when you're tickling her under the arm? I used to finger her. that's what I love about our calls. It's like, you know when you throw a dog in a pool and you just hold its tail and its feet just keep moving and moving and moving? It's like, they kind of, there's a part of them that knows you're holding their tail, but there's a part of them that can't stop their feet from moving. They just can't stop. That's a, like, you throw a curve at them, and they're like, I'll think about it, but no, I got a mission to go on here. Now, he is a full-time student. He's working full-time. His old man's coming down on him.
She was a source of stress, but he wanted to have a good time.
Wanted to
have fun.
All right. Now this is all going to come into focus when we get out of him that he messed around with one of her friends.
Right.
John?
Yeah.
Did you mess around with one of her friends?
No.
But with somebody?
No.
No?
She doesn't. Is she listening now?
No.
Does she have some suspicion that you...
Maybe, I don't know.
Did she have some suspicion that you cheated during that time, or is that why you broke up in the first place?
No, we didn't really grow apart. I grew away because...
Dude, what kind of fun, when you needed to have fun?
What
kind of fun were we having?
I wanted to be 18 again. I wanted to be free. I wanted to not have to worry about anything. You know, be back in high school.
What does that mean?
Well, in high school, you went to school, and then you just had fun. After...
What is fun for you?
But listen, hold on. You're still going to school and working full-time.
Right.
What's dumping your girlfriend? How's that get you back into high school? Wanted to finger new girls, didn't you?
No. We get along great, and, you know,
John.
Cheat on her.
Okay. All right, look. Oh, men are so thick. Amazing.
She's on
no wonder women hate men.
I need to ask one thing about the medicine.
That's taking Tenactin.
No, probably Sporinox.
Sporinox? Money's on Tenactin.
She's taking Diflucan or Sporinox?
Do you think he knows?
I'm not sure.
Toe fungus stuff.
These antifungals can be quite powerful, and they can affect her a little bit. I mean, they certainly, just about any medicine can affect sexual functioning, and maybe in his screwed up, you know, junior college brain, maybe this didn't happen exactly 3 weeks when they got back together. Maybe it was a couple months after they got back together when she started these medications, and now he's blaming it on the breakup.
He is trying to be intimate with her, and she's having difficulty being intimate with him because he isn't listening to her.
I agree with you. That's my number two choice, but it's possible that there's something biologically going on here, and he's wanting to blame it on...
That's true. But you understand you're just giving him fuel because he's going to say...
Well, I understand if we can't get it, we're never going to figure it out.
Drew said you absorbed something bad, and now I can't finger you no more.
It's all because of your toe.
Now, we either chopping your toe and off, or I gag you
and
with this...
I have another question about her.
What?
Man, we got to answer this. Why does a 23-year-old have toe fungus? Is she diabetic?
That's what I was thinking.
Please.
What the hell do we know?
Well, that's important in all this.
Because
that makes it weird stuff.
Come on,
John.
Quincy.
Yeah.
Is she diabetic?
No.
Why does she have toe fungus at 23?
You can get that at a...
I know you can get it, but you do...
Pedicure, actually, is how she got it.
No.
No?
No, you can get that in your fingernails from having acrylic stuff and stuff put on, but...
That's
no.
Your toes?
Your toes means your immune system isn't working right.
Really?
Yeah. So what's up? Is she do drugs or something? Or she...
No.
All right.
Straight.
All right there, John. Well, she take care of her dogs, and he can work on the vagina. It's all one big happy family. Jay Blumenfeld is our guest tonight. He's a director of HBO documentary called Small Town Ecstasy. This Sunday night, 10 o'clock on HBO. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Cake's going to be in here on Sunday night, and that's good because I like them. And we haven't seen them in a long time.
I'll be in North Carolina.
Why is that, Drew?
Good morning, America.
Really?
Yeah.
Why North Carolina?
Well, they started their 5-state tour in North Carolina. And they started there because I was given a college thing in North Carolina on Friday.
Hmm. So that means you got to stay the whole week there?
Weekend.
Yeah. That's a week now. Yeah. Now that you're big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna head up to Princeton and talk there on Saturday.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to North Carolina to meet my Good Morning America team.
Yeah. You're pissed at them, huh?
Well, not pissed at them. I thought the whole thing was, we'll meet you in North Carolina. I said, okay, great, we'll set this all up, and like, wait a minute, I gotta come back to North Carolina to meet you guys.
Yeah. Well,
that's but it's okay. Unfortunate, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Well,
we're gonna
you're a desperate man, huh? Yeah. Jay Blumenfeld is our guest tonight. What are you gonna do with them, Drew? Besides kiss their ass?
No. Nothing? Talk about junior college.
Okay.
Hey, when you give your talks, what do you talk about, like, at these schools?
Talk about, when he and I do it, it ends up being just love line. And when I do it, I give about a 20-minute talk on sort of my observations on things and what I think's going on between men and women and drug and alcohol and stuff. And then I just take questions and let them drive the discussion. Each one is completely different.
Yeah, in that the auditorium's different, but other than that, the content.
Yeah, I say exactly, precisely the same thing.
That's
the microphones
right.
Are a little different.
All right, Jay Blumenfeld is our guest tonight. He is a documentary filmmaker, and his documentary, Small Town Ecstasy, will be on HBO this Sunday at 10 o'clock. And it chronicles the life of a guy by the name of Scott, who turns out to be a pops, who... was a real straight-edge guy. Then he went to a rave, brought his kids, and watched the whole family fall apart.
I wonder if he was bipolar and he just started getting manic, and then the drug use kicked in as he sort of got a little grandiose with his mania.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But he seemed pretty sane for 40-some-odd years.
Yeah. What did he do for a living?
He's a logger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds sort of romantic.
Yeah.
He's starting... fall in love with this guy. And a real renaissance guy. He's logging during the day, and then he's listening to Euro techno pop at night and freaking out on X. Probably not a whole lot of other loggers at the rave, would you say?
No, and I don't think any of his logging buddies were sort of into his rave lifestyle. Especially he'd go to logging with sort of his baggy pants and orange shirt, and they'd all be in flannel.
Yeah, a bunch of guys look like the brawny spokesman. Yeah. We don't have any loggers around here, but I'm guessing loggers would be probably the equivalent to our, like, construction workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of stupid guys who wield things that, like, stuff that run on gas and, well, kind of guys I grew up with. Buffy?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes. Guys like working in a quarry.
Yeah.
There you go.
Buffy, you're...
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
What's up?
Okay. So, like, 6 months ago, I took a bunch of shrooms. I did, like, almost half an eighth.
In one sitting?
Yeah.
Mm.
And, like, ever since then, I've seen trails ever since then. Like, it has never stopped.
Yeah.
And I get, like, the shroomy feeling when I'm sober.
Yeah.
And I used to smoke weed all the time, too, and now I can't even smoke weed because I get the shroomy feeling again.
Interesting. Well, unfortunately, there's not a lot known about shrooms. We expect... what you're getting is something similar to what we see from LSD,
okay.
Which is either some residual, obviously because you're still seeing trailers, your brain has been altered by the drug, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that alteration is an alteration of the mood centers, and people get little personality changes and panic attacks, and again, mood disturbances. And
did the shrooms once?
A big, big,
yeah,
kind of, big dose.
My first time.
Big dose. And again,
how big was the dose?
It was almost half an eighth.
Almost.
What's that look like in baggy terms?
It's like the bottom of the bag, like just like a few things.
No, that's not a big dose of shrooms. Baby, you're just suffering from lightweight syndrome.
Did you do a bunch of acid?
Oh, no, I've never done acid.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe
lightweight.
Hey, be that as it may, she had some injury.
All right.
And we expect to see the same stuff from mushrooms we see from LSD because it isn't, you know, it's a strong hallucinogen. And in her case, this is some either residual brain damage or something called a post-hallucinogenic perceptual disorder, which is sort of locked into that hallucinogenic state. You don't really come out of it fully. You're always in this kind of quasi-dream state. And that eventually breaks down into, again, another mood and depressive disorder with anxiety attacks.
Yeah. I'd like to get to the point from a technological standpoint where we could give people the CAT scan and the PET scan and find out whose brain was strong enough to handle drugs. That's really what we need to do.
Before they take them?
Yeah, because let's face it, you know, some people get rear-ended at 4 miles an hour and have to be in traction and can't walk right for a year and a half. And some people take dirt bikes and, you know, have them go down canyons in them, tumbling ass over a coffee table and brush themselves off and are fine.
Yeah.
I think there's people, I think there are those equivalents with the brain as well. Yeah. I know guys that have done horrible, horrible things to their brain and they're completely lucid and completely sharp. And then there's people who get a half a cap of a bad mushroom and they're freaked out. They can't drink coffee anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is that? I don't know. But no one wants to pursue that part of it.
Well, they are. They're trying to actually look at the genetics of how we respond to drugs.
Right. And I know they're not going to pursue it because they don't know in advance who's got what. Anybody got a durable brain or whether they have a soft brain?
Well, we're starting to look at people's potential to respond to certain medication based on their genetic makeup. Maybe we'll be able to see some trends of other type with those same genetic groupings.
I would like to look forward to a world in which I could tell my kid, look, you can only smoke this much crack. You understand? Here's some mushrooms.
You've got that epsilon gene. Forget it. You ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. Drew said you got what's called soft brain. Runs in the Corollas. Probably got it from dad's side of the family. So, yeah, you can't even do aspirin, son. You're barely getting by as it is. Marty?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yeah.
What's up?
There's several things. First of all, first I've called a long-time listener, guys.
Great. Good
morning.
I'm married and for about 8 years, and my wife doesn't give me head.
You gotta kill yourself.
I'm almost at that point.
Well, she never did.
Let's just say that in the 8 years that we've been married, maybe 5 times.
Okay.
Not even complete.
If you know this was important to you, which it sounds like it must be.
Very.
Why'd you get married?
Thought
you could train her?
No. You know what it was? We both were brought up in a strict religion, and we got married straight out of the religion as virgins.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
What are you?
Right now, nothing.
Now, what was your religion?
JW.
Jehovah's
Witness.
Yeah, but...
We never...
You dropped Jehovah after the blowing stopped, right?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. I would, too.
Can we get back to the 5 times you did get it? What was special? Maybe we can recreate that night.
It was more about constantly asking her, and she's like, well, okay, I'll try it. And then, like I said, it wasn't even complete. I mean, I couldn't even, you know.
Right. Was she disturbed by the experience in some way?
Technically, yes. She would go and be like, well, why are you pre-coming? And I'm like, well, that's normal.
Well, she wants to talk to you.
You know, and I'm like, you know, just do what you got to do. Look, guys, I've gotten to the point that I've shaved it completely, you know, just so that she won't gag on hairs or anything like that, you know.
I'm this close to flying out there and blowing you myself, Martin.
even
we were going to do a promotion that went that way anyway. Maybe Marty's the guy. Adam flies to your town and blows you. Were you in on that meeting, Drew?
Some go, some blow. Yeah, that's what you're going to call it.
Right? Yeah. All right. Hey, Marty?
Yeah.
Is she still Jehovah's Witness?
No, we're not.
Was she abused in some way growing up?
Yeah, when she was younger.
What happened?
An uncle of hers fondled her the wrong way.
You think maybe somebody forced her to have oral sex or anything like that?
Possibly. I mean, I've asked her, you know, just like, you know. But
you're not likely to overcome that one, Marty, if that's really what's going on here. I mean, if she's really motivated to try to decondition herself, I guess it's possible. But
well, first off, isn't being brought up Jehovah's Witness a kind of abuse anyway?
Well, let me tell you, I've learned that it is because I had no type of teenage years, you know.
No.
I'm trying everything now. I'm trying everything from weed to.
Yeah.
I mean, I want some ecstasy, you know.
Yeah, go sick, buddy.
Okay, Marty.
Get a prostitute.
Maybe this sounds like your buddy Scott in the small town ecstasy documentary, because that's his thing. He was religiously constrained, right?
He was religiously constrained, and then he sort of exploded.
He went out. Marty went out at 30. I can believe it at 30, but at 40, it just doesn't make sense to me. 40, you're losing your will to live. Your testosterone levels are dropping. That's what
I
made it.
Yeah. Who knows? When are we going to look at religion serious religion as a form of abuse and a mental disability. Why can't we just call it what it is? These crazy Hasidic Jews, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Hare Krishnas, all these nutjobs. Can we just call it treat it like a mental illness? Just call a goddamn spade a spade.
Pathologize it?
Yeah, these people are insane, obviously. I mean, what is more insane than, waiting for the rapture, going up on the mountain with the lawn chair and the AM radio and waiting? isn't that one of the definitions of insanity? I mean, what about the Branch Davidian people? I mean, what about the Jonestown people? What about these people? Don't we consider them insane? Do you have to kill yourself to be insane? Or how about just a life full of just crazed fantasy? Just bizarre fantasy based on what some guy with a beard told you before he died. Now, when are we going to look at this? What about these guys, these suicide bombers? Don't we look at that as mental illness? Isn't it just mental illness, any form of serious religion? Doesn't it break down to mental illness, or is it just flat stupidity? What is it?
Well,
it's one or the other.
It's hard. It's a continuum, right? Fred, let's just take the bombers, right?
Yeah.
If it was 1750 and you were acting out against the British,
right?
You'd be a freedom fighter.
Yeah.
And you'd see it as sort of a rational political response where you put your life on the line. Yeah, you got to be a little crazy to do that. But
right.
Is it pathology, mental illness?
I think so.
You see, but it's tough. Where do you draw the line? It's really tough to say. I agree with you.
Blowing yourself up.
When you actually do it.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. You're a patriot if you do it 200 years ago.
And I'm not even talking about definitions. I'm saying where does that continuum become pathology? Is it the thought, or to want to fight about politics, or to be preoccupied about it all the time, or to be thinking about spiritual things and...
I'll let you slide.
Let's put it this way. There are aspects of the human experience in all humans that are just kind of crazy. All humans.
Absolutely.
And when at what point is it pathology is what's hard to...
Well, here's what I'm saying. If a guy is attracted to... Let's say there's something deviant sexually.
Mm.
Let's say you have an adult male, and this adult male is attracted to 11-year-old male boys. We look at that as this guy needs some serious help. Or if he thinks there's aliens in his backyard.
But
if he grows a beard down to his goddamn waist and puts one of those prayer shawls on and spends every weekend beating his head up against some wailing wall and facing Mecca and all this other nonsense, he's just a pious guy? No, he's the same nut job. He just doesn't have a hankering for it. It's not manifesting itself this way. Still nuts. Go visit the Hasidim, man. I've been down there. Go down to Fairfax on a Tuesday and see these smelly, hairy old guys who couldn't get laid if you taped a wad of hundreds to their circumcised schlong.
But maybe,
and just so they tape boxes to their heads and stuff. They're nuts. They're all nuts.
But maybe ritual becomes a rational way of managing.
Whatever. Let's get them on the medication and lock them up. That's what I'm saying. Just somebody stand up and call them nuts and stop being so respectful of people who are clearly nutty. It's nuts. It's not religion. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying we should have no respect for them. Let's just label them nuts and move on. Thank you. All right. Where were we?
Small Town Ecstasy.
That's right. That's the documentary we're talking about. Sunday night on HBO, 10 o'clock. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Gabe. He's done an X about 10 times and is having memory loss after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Tonight, our guest, Jay Blumenfeld. Jay's a documentary filmmaker. He made himself a documentary for HBO, which is going to air this Sunday night at 10 o'clock on HBO. Now, quiet down. Here we go, guys. You guys are filing back in the studio as we speak. And let's start off by speaking to Gabe, who's 19. So you've done X 10 times.
Right.
And Freon?
Yeah, I've also done some meth and some smoked weed and stuff. I started doing drugs when I was like 12, and then was just smoking weed a lot. And then
what's your primary drug now?
Just marijuana.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually this story ends about being about pot. So
how do you do Freon?
Well, first it was out of the cans of, like, the refrigerant, you know, that you spray on your, like, keyboards, the air dust cleaners, the dusters.
Computer cleaners.
Oh, really? Is that Freon?
It's just hydrocarbon. These are inhaled hydrocarbon.
It's not Freon.
I don't think so.
Well, it's I like.
It's a propellant.
It's a propellant. It's the same, but I know the effect's like the same if you huff like Freon like out of an air conditioning.
All right. So what is the question?
Well, like I've done quite a few drugs, and I don't want to do like anything else. And I've got like strong memory relapses, and my speech gets like slurred, and I want to say something. And
well, first you've got to stop pot.
Okay.
And in your case, it's profoundly addictive, and you're not going to stop unless you get some treatment.
Okay.
You're going to either switch to something else, or you're going to keep going back to it. So you got to go to MA, get a sponsor, work the steps, and really take this rather seriously. Because for those people that for whom pot is addictive, it is extremely difficult to stop. Whether or not you continue to have memory problems or these neurologic symptoms afterwards, time will tell. Because there's really nothing to be done if it was the ecstasy or the speed or the huffing that caused it. Given that you've only done, you haven't done big time speed or ecstasy or inhaled hydrocarbons, so in all probability, this is all the pot you've been over the last 8 years. So let's get going on that. You may see some significant improvement. All my marijuana addicts complained about memory problems. And the number one complaint, can't find their car keys.
Really?
Number one complaint.
Yeah. Correction, van keys.
I was going to say, the VW van.
Podcast, right? Yeah. Van, that's true.
That's right.
All right, so line one, who do we have here? This is Craig. Now, who is Craig? Craig's one of the guys who was...
Craig is, I think, is the one of the people in the documentary.
He's the oldest son.
Oldest son.
Can I ask him questions about his dad and his previous history and stuff?
What do you mean? Of course you can.
Well, no, I don't want to...
No, so what? He's done. Jay doesn't care. He got paid. He hammered that check months ago. Craig?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Let's figure out a way to make sure it's Craig. Why don't you ask him a couple questions, Jay?
What's your brother's name?
Which one?
The youngest.
Samuel.
So, hey, how about the next oldest sibling?
Oldest sibling would be Job, my older brother.
Yeah.
Now, how about the one between you and Sam?
That's Heather.
Okay, there you go.
He's three for three.
That's him.
All right, so now, Craig, you're 19.
I am.
And your dad is Rave Dad. Scott, right?
There's a piece that's missing from me, Craig, in this whole story. Was your dad, did he have anything go on before this all started happening? Was there anything unusual about him?
No, nothing at all.
He never had any mood disturbances or...
Right. Actually, I had, if you want to go back the farthest, I probably started it.
Started his drug use?
Right.
No. How?
I had gotten into it first, and... By that time, I had graduated. I was living on my own and basically told him what I was doing. And he liked how I was talking about it. I was being pretty persuasive and eventually just talked him into doing it.
Hmm. But Craig, I don't think you should blame yourself. He would have probably tried something whether you had turned him on to it or not.
First of all, he's getting a grown adult. He's taking direction from his 19-year-old? No.
One of those other loggers would have turned him on.
There's got to be something else going on with him. And I understand is that your PET scan didn't turn out quite normally. Is that right?
That's true.
What did that show?
It did show there was a slight bit of brain damage on the left side of on my temporal lobe.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of memory loss.
Okay. Does that motivate you to get some treatment?
Not really treatment. I stopped all the use I was doing.
You stopped everything and just left the alcohol?
Just
the alcohol. Well, that's going to...
No, just kind of drink.
All right, well, that's going to take off now. What happens when you switch over to alcohol?
How do you know he left the alcohol?
He didn't.
No, I mean, how do you know he... That was the only thing you just said. Left the alcohol. How do you know?
How do I know that he's still using alcohol? Because drug addicts that are as into as Greg is cannot stop everything. They've got to replace it with something, either sex or thrill or alcohol. And usually what they do is go, well, that hard stuff, I can stop that, no problem. I still like my beers. And that starts to escalate, and they become full-blown alcoholics.
All right. But still better than dropping the X on the weekends.
Yeah, but it's something he's going to have to deal with.
All right. Hey, Craig?
Yep.
You going to be watching this documentary Sunday night?
Definitely.
Have you seen the final cut of it?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
So
you worried about it?
I'm not really worried about it. I'm past that point. I'm just looking forward to, or not necessarily looking forward, I'm just going to see, you know, what the final outcome is. How's and see how it goes. And, you know, it is a made-for-TV kind of movie.
How's your family doing? How's your family doing?
Everything's exactly how it happened.
How's your family doing?
They're doing good, actually.
Hold on, let me explain that. Well, who played your part? Michael J. Fox?
This is what I love about people in reality documentaries. Listen, I didn't say that. Well, they made it seem like I said something.
Yeah, every time we get some a-hole from Survivor on here, it's like, oh, the editing. It's like the editing. You took a log to the guy's head while he was asleep. Yeah, I know, but it's the way they edited me to be a villain. Like, I saw you stab the guy. What are you doing? It's a documentary. All right, Craig, good luck to you there, buddy. Watch that, and
I'll
be coming after Jay trying to kill him about, I'd say about 10:45, 11 o'clock Sunday night.
You look good, Craig. Good to talk to you, man.
Jay Blumenfeld is our guest tonight, documentary filmmaker, doing the Small Town Ecstasy, which is going to premiere on HBO Sunday night. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Cake coming in here on Sunday night, so it'll be good to see those guys again. Jay Blumenfeld. Field, not Feld. And let me tell you why. Jay is my new best friend now, because I called him Blumenfeld.
20 times.
18. Right. 18 times.
He let it ride.
And he let it ride. And... our crack staff here on Loveline had it written on the beat sheet, F-E-L-D. So, of course, I pronounced that Feld, not Field. So,
think how different it is than our callers. It's Andrea?
No, it's Andrea! Somewhere. Where's Tara? Is she around here? Tara, whatever her name is. You should... I'm gonna put you two in the same room, and you can explain to her why she doesn't need to correct everybody when they mispronounce her Tara and Tara and all that nonsense, and that nobody cares, and it turns out to just basically alienate people.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? Like when someone gives me the correction on their name, I just think a-hole. Right? I walk away thinking a-hole. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think. So Jay, thank you. And he told me during the commercial, he said, it doesn't really matter, but it is Blumenfeld, not Feld. I like this man. He has made a documentary, which is airing Sunday night at 10 o'clock on HBO, and it's called Small Town Ecstasy, and it is about ecstasy. And ended up, you were going to make just a general documentary about ecstasy, but you ended up stumbling on Striking Gold, finding one family, and basically sticking with them, right?
Yeah, we shot a bunch of different people in various stages of life, and we just sort of realized that you could tell a better story just by sticking with one family, and there's a lot of dynamic that worked out better, so we stuck with that one family, and that was the whole thing. So now it's called Small Town Ecstasy instead of Generation Ecstasy.
If you ever do a documentary on families that hang out, don't talk that much, and like to nap, and just sort of wait, you know, call it Waiting to Die, you do one on the Corollas. You can watch my dad.
We should talk after the show.
That's yeah, he goes on walks, very slow walks, and then likes to read books without pictures. And then we have long-winded discussions about guys who have died, basically.
CBS. We should take it there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's life in the fast lane. Yeah. He's an outlaw. He's a kind of guy who will... use apple juice in his granola and not think twice about it, my dad. He's a maniac. I mean, he's clearly living on the edge, driving a beige Buick. I mean, he's out of control. He's a maniac. I think he has that Viking alcoholic gene. Wouldn't you say, Drew? My dad?
Oh, yeah, he's over the top. Thrill seeker.
Yeah. Sometimes he wears pants that don't have the elastic pleat in the side.
Mm.
It's not often, but once in a while he puts those on. Out of control. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 32. What's up?
My wife, I'm 32, my wife's a couple years older. She had gotten pregnant twice and had two miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
One was at about 4 weeks and one at about 10 weeks. And after that, they started doing all kinds of tests on us. And I was wondering, they noticed my testosterone was really low, and I didn't know if that could affect it or my sperm count being low. And then
was your testosterone low and your sperm count low?
Yeah, both of them were.
And the problem was there were two spontaneous miscarriages?
Yes.
Okay, well, that has nothing to do with your sperm count, right?
Okay.
Because you got her pregnant, right?
And you were able to get her pregnant, so that's that.
Okay, and then I wasn't sure. I had a back surgery and a lot of back problems, so I've been taking OxyContin and
smoking a little pot.
Nah, no pot.
Really?
Just the OxyContin and Actique. It's fentanyl.
Fentanyl. Jesus Christ.
What is that?
It's a heavy opiate. You're an opiate addict, Brian.
Oh, I'm not an opiate addict or anything. I have to take them for my back. But, I mean, I go see the pain management doctor and go to a pain management group and see pain psychologist.
32. Is there alcoholism in your family?
No.
Nowhere?
I don't even drink.
What was the not in your family? There's no alcoholism?
No, nothing I know of.
And you know your parents, your grandparents?
Yeah, nobody in my family.
Right. It was just chronic pain. But certainly, yes, these are heavy-duty medications.
Well, does that have anything to do with his wife's fertility problem?
Well, it lowers certainly his low testosterone and sperm count. But
so that could be from taking low?
Yeah, but not the miscarriages, though.
Yeah, once you get pregnant, you're pregnant, right?
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then I wasn't sure if maybe, you know, any of those.
What is the nature of your back injury?
I had two herniated discs. And then one of them was out so far, and it was extruded or broken off into the nerves. And then
how'd you do it?
I used to work for a water company, so a lot of lifting.
Right.
And it ended up where my leg was completely numb in my foot, and I'd go to take a step, my leg wouldn't move.
Okay.
After a few concussions, I got the surgery.
A few concussions?
Because I would go to take a step and my leg wouldn't move. It was so numb.
You'd fall over.
Wow.
Go kind of right over.
Wow.
That's actually the true indication for doing back surgery is when you have motor dysfunction in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Pain, not a reason to have back surgery, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jay, part of the pitch, I didn't finish my dad. My dad had, last year he had a beer before the streetlights came on. One time, but I mean, you know, I mean, he's, Drew, you've seen the guy, he's out of control.
I would have to put the show on after 11.
He develops the alcohol-induced psychosis, but Brian, you notice how Brian is different than our usual back pain? That this is chronic back pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You can talk to him, he's clear, he talks to you, he's not escalating, he's following directions, doing what he's supposed to do.
Right.
And his structured program has a specific neurologic deficit. Huh. That's what this all was invented for, is for guys like Brian.
Right. Yeah. You could do a whole thing. You could watch him eat dinner at 5:30 in the evening. It's great. It's great. Yeah, Drew, does your dad eat?
He eats, yes.
Does he eat at like 5 o'clock? Do you get progressively? And we talked about this last week. My theory is you shave 15 minutes off the time that you sit down for dinner from the age 30 on. Every 10 years. So by the time you're like 70 years old, you shave it down to about 4:30 in the afternoon. It just keeps, eventually it's going to hit brunch. Like if my dad lived to 140, he would eat breakfast at about 8:30 in the morning. It just keeps working its way down. Like it's you know what it is, because you start going to bed earlier and earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. And getting up earlier too.
The
sleep wake cycle is good. And they have a new meal for people in octogenarian age. It's called Dunch.
that's dinner and lunch or dead and lunch. I think dead works better. Lyle.
Yeah.
You're 22.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well. This question is for Drew, and I heard a couple minutes ago one of the female callers said that she had eaten about a half an eighth of mushrooms and was experiencing flashback symptoms and constant tracers.
Right.
And I'd say in about a 2 months' time, an approximate amount, I've done about 1,000 hits of LSD.
Uh-huh. Are you still feeling locked into kind of a dream state?
Well, my normal thinking pattern is my memories of, like, the past are basically gone. And the way my mind structure is now, the way I think, is it's locked into the LS,
the LSD type of
right.
thinking.
That's right. It's called a post-hallucinogenic perceptual disorder. You need to see something about this, Lyle.
Hold on. You did 18 hits a day?
Anywhere. I'd get up in the morning, go to the refrigerator to be like, oh, do I want to have some breakfast? No, I'll eat 10 hits of acid. I won't be hungry. That night, I'd eat 50. The next couple of days, I'd eat 100.
You get tolerant to it, so these guys can take big, big doses.
Yeah. Where do you get 100 hits that just lying around?
Well, I was hitchhiking through Frisco and kind of met
that's
some
enough.
You know,
I
mean?
Met some people.
Yeah, and that's it. They just give you hundreds and thousands of hits.
Yeah, they were just kicking down. So what they kicked down, I was eating, and I was eating and eating and eating and eating.
Wow.
And I finished it off with about 4 hits of pure concentrated peyote.
Wow.
And that's not coupling with about...
All right.
Can you just swallow an M80?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it would have done. Yeah, it would have done about the same thing. Wouldn't have been quite as pleasurable, I suspect, but same damage. Well, so what do you want to do now, Lyle?
The side effects have been lasting years. I mean, 4 years now.
That's right. Do you want to get some help with this?
Well, I want to know how to make it go away if I'm going to ever be able to think properly.
You need to see a psychiatrist. You know, you ought to go to Dr. David Smith at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic in San Francisco. He has a lot of experience with this particular problem, okay?
Okay.
Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, David Smith. And it is not something that is going to go away. It's going to change in terms of its features, and they're not pretty.
I know Haight Street isn't spelled like hatred, but...
H-A-I-G-H-T.
Still doesn't seem like the world's greatest name for a street, does it? Living on Haight Street?
I call it the Haight.
It's almost like a song, you know? Yeah, you've been living on Haight Street, baby. You know what I mean?
It's all about love on Haight Street, though. That's
I know, it's very, very ironic.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Love's about drugs.
Haight must have been some guy's name.
Yeah.
But... Tough ass. You don't get a street name. You know, what if your name is like Bob Nigger? What do you do? You name a street after you? You know what I'm saying?
You don't.
That's what I'm saying.
So you don't read, Adam. You know, you're not thinking Haight when you think Haight-Ashbury. You're thinking...
I don't read,
You're thinking more eight. Haight.
No, I hear Haight, and I think of the word Haight, because that sounds exactly like the word Haight. Like hatred.
It sounds like it.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. Jessica?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. Hi, Adam. This is a question for Dr. Drew.
All right.
I have endometriosis, which is attached to my intestines.
Good times.
But my OBGYN is going to start me on a Lupron therapy after she goes and cuts some of it from my intestines.
Good.
But I'm afraid, she said she's going to do it for a year first.
The Lupron for a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm afraid that it's really going to mess with my hormones because I've always had hormonal problems.
Well, it's going to mess with them, of course. It basically puts you into menopause.
Yeah. She had said something about an add-back therapy, but all that does is to prevent bone deterioration.
Yeah, but I understand that, but you will improve with that.
Okay. Is that going to make me totally...
It affects different women differently. I don't think enough is made of the... emotional and sexual side effects of hormone therapy like this. But, yeah, it's going to have profound effects on you. You need to be prepared for it. And I think it's an excellent therapy for endometriosis. I think if you're really troubled with that, it's an important thing to get under control.
Yeah.
But it's going to have lots of side effects. And so just about anything that happens to you while you're on it, assume it's the Lupron.
Okay.
And look for ways to solve those problems.
Okay. So is it going to make me – I am an EMT, and I'm afraid that I'm going to get out on a scene and I'm going to lose it. Is that going to be – will that be a problem? Will it affect me that way?
It can, yeah. People feel overwhelmed emotionally sometimes.
Okay.
But just be prepared. That's all. Just it doesn't mean you're going to be decompensating emotionally.
Okay.
How's the EMT work treating you?
It's a little stressful. Guys dig chicks in uniforms, that's for sure.
Yeah. Nah, not really.
No, some of them do. Most of them do.
No.
You'd be surprised out here.
Here's what guys dig. If you're a chick and you're just halfway decent and you have a job, guys are like really amazed by it. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, once in a while you walk into office and there's a hot looking chick and she comes walking by and she's carrying something and you're like,
no, you know
think
what?
To yourself, you're hot. What are you doing working?
No. I could see where
any girl that's working turns me off.
There is that too, but I think that there is that phallic female thing that guys are into sometimes.
An
armed woman who's in control, kind of.
But you know what this is? This takes what we were talking about, which is a woman who's working, attractive woman who's working, and takes it a step further. I mean, it's now official. You ain't the boss's daughter. You got the uniform. You're there. It's almost blue collar when you have the uniform, and that's when it becomes like Flashdance. Oh, shut up with that puss.
No, I think you get close to the Xena syndrome with this, which is like a woman armed.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
a warrior woman is what that goes for.
That works, too.
But I understand. Two different things.
Yeah. But when you see a woman, whether it's a cop, a fireman, or an EMT, and she's in a uniform, it's like a blue-collar job. I mean, to me, it's like I said, it's like Flashdance. You saw some chick who was a coal miner and a five. Just a five, but she was a coal miner. You'd be like, oh, my God, what is she doing? What's going on? And then you'd become amazingly attracted to her. But if you saw her out of her uniform and sitting around and not working, she'd just be a five.
You're right.
Thank you. So what was her deal? She wanted to know about, she wanted to put pleats in her uniform or what she want?
I forget.
Okay. Let's talk to Carrie, who's 24. Carrie?
Good evening.
Good evening.
About a year and a half ago, I took some ecstasy twice, like 12 hours apart. And that evening, I started getting the pain in my elbow. And since then, I've had constant pain in both shoulders, both elbows, both wrists. I have a rash in my hands.
Have you seen someone about this?
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
Well, at first, I thought, well, that could have been ecstasy, so... I went to the doctor, and I was working in an office at the time, so I figured maybe it's carpal tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
They did tests. I told them about the ecstasy, too, and they're like, nah. They'd done tests. They did nerve tests. I was in therapy.
Physical therapy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay, all I get from you is depressed.
Yeah, you sound pretty depressed to me, too.
So whatever it is, and certainly ecstasy can contribute to that, but you sound profoundly depressed, so there is that.
No, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah. You're top of the world looking down on creation.
Wouldn't miss that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So what happened with the workup? Just give us the upshot.
With work?
No,
the workup.
The workup.
Well, you know, it's still the same as it was.
What did they finally decide it was?
They didn't determine it was anything. You know, after the nerve test, they're like, we don't know what this is.
Okay.
They had me on anti-inflammatories and whatnot. You know, it's still the same as it was when it first...
Is it both arms?
Yeah.
Are you having problems sleeping?
No. You know, I mean, I've just gotten used to it, you know.
Do you have... How's work going?
It's fine. I'm at another job where I'm not typing quite as much, but...
Does anybody use the term fibromyalgia?
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Or reflex sympathetic dystrophy syndrome? Has that been discussed? RSDS?
I've talked to people about that, the doctors I've talked to.
All right, well, those are the two kinds of things that that present like this. And I don't really think it has much to do with the ecstasy, except that when one is depressed, one is certainly predisposed to overwhelming physical complaints. And
is this fibromyalgia the latest incarnation of chronic fatigue syndrome?
It's a spinoff.
Yeah.
It's like Maude is to All in the Family.
Right. True. Jay, enjoy that, because it comes up with one of those every 4 years.
Well, no, one a year.
One a year, maybe.
You were here. Yeah.
Yeah. You can say you're here when Drew said something entertaining. Yeah, this is once in a while we got to figure out something. See, people get depressed, and then they lose their energy, but they don't want to call themselves depressed, we have to give them a syndrome so they can figure out why it is they're not, why they have no one.
It's a little more complicated. They get a sleep disturbance because of the depression, and then they literally get these very severe muscle pains from the sleep disturbance. Have you ever gone like 3 days without sleeping? You know how you ache all the time? It's hard to move around?
No.
You ever had that?
No.
I get that like crazy.
No, I get very irritable, and my eyes hurt a lot, and my brain doesn't work as poorly as it normally does. But never anything physical. That's always the least of my worries with my lack of sleep. Mm. It's more, I feel like one of these ecstasy callers when I don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I hear my voice echoing in my own head. And ironically, I'm always doing something like, Howard Stern or some radio junket or in front of something. So it's the worst possible time for your brain not to work. But that's the story of my life. My brain probably works the best late night here where on the radio when no one listens and no one cares. Lenzig?
Yep.
Who?
You're 16?
Yep.
What do you want?
I recently moved away from the town I was living in. Like, I'm 2.5 hours away, and I have no way to get any pot or mushrooms, so pretty much I have to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know if I'm going to go through any withdrawals or anything like that.
Not from the mushrooms. How much pot are you smoking every day?
I used to smoke at least, like, 5 or 6 joints a day.
Yeah, you're going to feel pretty irritable. You're going to get shaky, have mood swings, crave. Your sleep's going to be messed up for several weeks.
Yeah.
Sweaty, uncomfortable. It's just going to be kind of miserable.
Okay.
It's like coming off alcohol, very similar to that.
Did you you move to Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Geez, you couldn't just move to Beirut or hell or someplace, someplace where you had a little chance?
I wish.
Yeah. What an asshole that Bakersfield is, huh?
Yeah. Boring.
Yeah. It's worse than boring. Boring would be sort of neutral. This is bad.
As far as that girl talking about doing only a half eighth of mushrooms, that's probably only like 4 pieces of popcorn. That's how much that is.
Yeah, I know. I called her a lightweight, though.
Yeah.
You caught that, right, bro?
Yeah.
All right.
That girl's really getting the ire of the world.
Yeah, how dare she have brain damage after 3 kernels of popcorn.
Well, let me tell you, the first time I did mushrooms, me and the Wheeze put back a few shrooms, and his crazy cousin, Michelle, came by. Maybe I shouldn't talk about her. She teaches school now, but...
Come on. Out with it.
Anyway, she had kind of a bad trip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Started spazzing out a little bit. And there's nothing... Chicks are such lightweights, you know? They just... They really have weaker brains. I mean, let's face it. A couple camps of mushrooms, and they get all paranoid and weird, you know?
And want to call their mom. Exactly.
Yeah.
That happened my first mushroom time.
Really?
Some
chick spazzed on you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than when you're trying to get groovy and somebody's spazzing.
Groovy.
You really are. You're really
looking at flies going, oh, my God, I can see his, I can hear his wings beating.
No, it wasn't a fly. It was a bee.
A bee, I beg your pardon.
How dare you.
The air. I can see the air moving around
the bee. I can see the ripples around the bee's wings like it was in water. It was good. Listen. The Wheeze and I were having a love fest on the floor of his...
I do not want to hear about... I beg your pardon.
No, nothing sexual, but, I mean, we were really enjoying our mellow high, and then this chick has to start freaking out, you know. And they start getting spazzy, and they start going places. I got to get out! You know, they start heading out for the street, and then you're really high, but you got to chase them. And then you're all bummed out. There should be insurance for this. You know what I mean? Bad trip insurance. Some broad freaks because she got some bad mushrooms.
How about a bad trip service?
Yeah, where they just come over and kill her.
Collect them, yeah.
Or just collect them. Yeah. They
do the chasing for you.
Here's the deal. By then, it's over. I want insurance. I want to be compensated for this.
If you had somebody chase you, you could just sit back and laugh. Enjoy it.
No, but you'd have to phone them, and you have to wait for them to show up.
Yeah, that's true.
What I'm saying is I want a new bag of drugs and like $180 and a six pack.
I see.
And a date in the future when I can get high again and be assured that there'll be no trouble this time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's just, nothing worse. And listen, you chicks should be drinking wine coolers. That's about it. Don't start getting into the drugs because you always freak. You get weird. And it's one of two reactions to the drugs. Either the top comes off and you just start lying around the block and you start blowing guys, or you just freak out and start running in the street and want to call your mom.
So
you get all paranoid.
So
it's all going to be bad for you.
Bartles and James.
Think 3.5 to 4 wine coolers. That's what you chicks should be thinking. And leave the serious drugs to the fellas, right?
And you can leave a little in the bottom of each wine cooler. You don't have to finish.
Right, right. It's just that little foam on the top. Yeah. And
have a sip.
Is it not the case that the guys are giving them the drugs, though, expecting the former reaction, the top's going to come off? And they're so bummed out when they get the latter reaction. Of the
not so much the mushroom dudes. Because the mushroom guys know that... there's not going to be any sex going on.
They just want to see the bees winks.
Right.
And in peace.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right.
Then you see the Lee Press-On nail commercial. And you're sitting there, and you're watching people stick plastic extensions, red extensions, onto the end of their fingers, and your high is a kind on mushrooms, and you're going, it's a very strange society we're living in.
The
female species tries to be more attractive to the male species by sticking long pieces of blood-red plastic to the end of their fingers as if they were bloody claws, you know? You're just watching this. And then a commercial comes on for Monster Trucks, and they're showing trucks smashing cars, and the crowd's cheering, you know, and you think, I've got to get out of this place. It's a little too freaky for me.
I got to call my mom.
Yeah, you're right. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Jay Blumenfield is our guest tonight. He's a documentary filmmaker. He did a documentary called Small Town Ecstasy. It's going to premiere Sunday night on HBO, 10 o'clock. And listen here, kiddies. I know you screwballs want to play video games and get high all day, but you should really get into documentaries. Hmm. And just in general, just things that mix information.
The History Channel.
Yeah. No, I know you're not gonna. I know I'm sounding like Squaresville here, but here's what I'm saying. A lot of people who listen to the show, including myself, have difficulty sitting down, focusing, reading books, studying, going to the library, doing the traditional stuff that people like Dr. Drew can do. I mean, I don't have that gene. I never did. I never could. But yet, I was able to learn a certain amount of things in life, and that's through just listening to talk radio, watching documentaries, watching 60 Minutes, watching a little History Channel. I was able to essentially educate myself, or at least give people the appearance that I have some education, more than being a ceramics major and barely making it through high school, never taking, failing driver's ed, never taking algebra and all that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? You can absorb information.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean.
No, I know what you mean.
What's wrong with absorbing a little information while you're being entertained? Yeah. You know, entertainment does not always have to come in the form of plate spinning or pornography. You can actually be entertained because you're being interested in absorbing knowledge.
Couldn't agree more.
And I wish more people would sort of find that form of entertainment. I find shows like 60 Minutes very entertaining because it's all true and it's all information and it's all interesting. And the same with these documentaries that are on HBO. They're amazingly entertaining. And I think people steer away from them sometimes, or at least some of our younger listeners might steer away from them just because they're a documentary. Tara?
Yes.
You Tara or Tara?
Tara.
Good times. You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm a server, or not a server, I'm going to be a server. I'm a cashier at a restaurant in Fountain Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Peter North.
Mm-hmm.
Is,
the decorator, porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Jay's next project.
Yeah, he comes in regularly, and he always orders, like, to-go items and stuff, so I always take care of him. And I've seen a lot of his films, like, my ex-boyfriend kind of got off on it, so...
Your ex-boyfriend showed you films with him in it?
Yeah, he kind of had a thing. Like, he used to like watching it, and it used to get him off. But I see this guy.
He watched porn?
Back up.
Hold on. This ex-boyfriend of yours liked watching Peter North?
Not Peter North, but he liked kind of watching porn.
Okay. He did?
Yeah.
Shocking.
I've never heard of a young male enjoying that activity.
That's a weird guy.
How old was he? What's that?
He's 17.
Mm-hmm. 17-year-old male watching pornography.
No. I refuse to believe it.
Drew, it's true.
No.
Drew, wake up and smell the coffee. This is what's going on today.
Oh, my God, am I out of it.
Where is this happening?
Fountain Valley.
It used
another city named strangely.
It used to be somewhere else, but now it's in our neighborhoods. Scary. Yeah. Next thing you know, masturbation.
No. We'll get a handle on that. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll get a handle on that.
Adam, Fountain Valley. Could there be a city flatter, valleyless
Right. Yeah, well, maybe that's it. Maybe.
It's like Fountain Prairie.
Yeah. Yeah, where's Valley come in?
Where's the Valley, Fountain Valley?
It's a good question. I'll tell you. Hold on a second.
Well, it's next to Hawaiian Gardens, so they had to figure it
out. Yeah, here's the next documentary. I have this plan. I got plans. I'm going to straighten out this whole goddamn country. But one of the things is I don't like the names of these cities. I don't like the fact that Hawaiian Gardens is a dump and named Hawaiian Gardens.
Sun Valley.
I don't like that Sun Valley is a dump and named Sun Valley. And I don't like the fact that Fountain Valley doesn't have a valley in it. I don't think you can just willy-nilly name your territory whatever you like. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Right. Furthermore, I know a lot of people that moved from back east. They lived in Boston and stuff. They're coming out to California. They're getting into the entertainment business. And they go, hey, Hawaiian Gardens. Yeah, I'll get an apartment there. That sounds good. Because it sounds a hell of a lot nicer than Encino. When in reality, there could be nothing. No two cities further apart, right? Mm-hmm. I want everything numbered. That's my plan. Numbers. And let these idiots in Hawaiian Gardens start fighting. Because Hawaiian Gardens, when you're not Hawaiian Gardens anymore. You're 147.
Well, let's give them a number and a grade.
No, just a number.
Just number on.
Yeah, every state will just number the cities.
All right.
And they can just hammer it out. And now all of a sudden, you got some motivation. You see, you want to... You're Hawaiian Guards. You're not resting on your laurels anymore. You're 147. You got to start working it a little bit.
Make 147 the place to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. You got to get your number up. You got to see if you can crack double digits. You see what I'm saying? Because these numbers will shift around. I'll assign them every year. Give everyone motivation. Get the whole town behind. It'll be like Whoville.
All right.
Thank you.
So Tara, what about Peter
North?
What do you want?
Okay. Well, no, he's been hitting on me, and he made a pass at me, and I knew that if I went after it, that I totally could have, I could have had sex with him, and, like, I really want to. It would just be amazing. I know it would, but I'm really nervous just because I'm not really experienced.
Liar, whore, you know it.
Bogus. Your jack-off boyfriend put you up to this.
I'm not real promiscuous. I just... But I can't help it. Like, every time he comes in...
What film did you watch with him in it?
I don't even know the name.
Why not?
I'm sorry. I didn't pay that much attention.
Do pornos have names?
Huh?
Yeah. She would know. Bogus.
Well, let's talk to her, though. She'd know. What would this do for you?
What would what?
What would this do for you?
What would what do if I slept with him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Change my life?
Why is it so appealing to you?
Change your life. Why having two gallons of jizz dumped on you? Please.
Yeah, why would you want to be with a guy that, you worry, I'm sure, I think, suspect you'd worry about STDs and someone who's been with lots and lots of partners, and what would it do for you? Not going to be a relationship, right?
Obviously, it's not going to be a relationship.
I'm just curious.
When I used to work at the an Arby's, Ron Jeremy used to come in, and the same thing happened. Okay.
You wanted to go for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has that effect.
How could you resist Ron?
Yeah. No, I didn't. That's what I'm saying.
But this is, the reason I'm exploring this, maybe it is bogus, I don't know, but is that I'm always intrigued.
Put your boyfriend on the phone, would you?
Oh, no, I don't have a boyfriend anymore. He is my ex.
Intrigued by why women just suddenly go for like a celebrity or some guy in a public figure as though it's separate from their usual sort of menu of behaviors. You know what I mean? All of a sudden they just throw themselves at one person at one occasion, like some rock star or something. And then it's like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to question a woman who's having that experience. Now, that's kind of what she's describing.
Well, let me hypothesize and say that there's probably more women would like to have a fantasy sort of one-night stand than society would let them have, you know?
A lot of them do it. I think they do.
What are you saying?
I think a lot of them do that.
No, they do, but...
How did Wilt Chamberlain sleep with 20,000 women? And by the way, not one of them steps forward and say, oh, that was me. I was one of the 20,000.
Yeah.
It's like it didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, probably wasn't 20,000.
Well, you know what I mean? How about Geraldo or whatever? Nobody steps up and goes,
Geraldo, what a dynamite individual. What's wrong with him? He's realized that people don't really like him and he should just stay home. But listen, there's a guy I'd like to beat his ass. I'd like to beat that Geraldo's ass.
He's coming on next week.
I'd love to. He is? I challenge him to a boxing match. Okay, listen. Here's what I'm saying. I think a lot of women have one night stand fantasies, but they have in more of a fantasy form than an actual. They don't like the notion of a one night stand, but they do like the notion of a one night stand with a celebrity.
Right,
and it's fantasy.
Right, and a rock star. Take a rock star.
Okay, and I don't think. I know society is used to women having one-night stands, and we accept it, but I don't think they can rationalize doing it with a dude they work with or dude they go to school with.
Right.
But they can rationalize doing it with a rock star.
You don't think it is some primitive primate thing that these are the alpha males that they just present to and, you know, collecting some genes, and they can't contain that old primitive impulse?
I wouldn't say that's a bad theory, and I'm sure that factors into it.
And then they go back to getting the guys who need to be the child rearers,
right,
to raise these things.
I think there it doesn't really count.
If that's what I'm saying.
It's just some weird.
Now, Drew, don't agree with Jay. He's crapping on your theory.
No, I'm saying it comes from. I agree. Psychologically, it doesn't count, and it fits into their self concept that way. But the biology is some primitive thing left over from our primate past.
Well, whoever can argue with that, Drew, always falls back on that. It's very, very spurious. Jay's next documentary is called "Why Drew's Wrong," almost all the time. It's going to come out on Cinemax in about 3 weeks. All right, Jerry, all right? You done pounding?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm just thinking the name of that documentary. I'm trying to figure that out.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're really going to get to some questions after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, and that is Dr. Drew over there. Let's keep rocking here. Jay Blumenfield is our guest tonight, documentary filmmaker, HBO, Sunday night. The Ecstasy documentary is on. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up there, Mr. Personality?
Sorry.
That's all right.
I just want to know if... I want to know two questions. If you use dental dam on a girl...
A dental dam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will they be able to feel anything?
Well, do you feel anything when you wear a condom?
Yeah.
Same idea.
But, like, I don't know, would it, like, move around and, like, I get the funny thing? Well, okay. That's the question. But
yeah, well, I mean, look, it's not as good as not using one. I think it's a fairly ridiculous item that I guess society thought was fairly ridiculous because it never really caught on. But you could, if you used it properly and worked it properly, they could get some. Listen, you can give a woman an orgasm outside of her pants.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, neither can I or anyone I know. But
it's happened.
I've seen
Peter
movies.
North can,
Peter North, yeah. Hey, you rub a, you give a woman that Eagle Death Claw is what I call it. No. It's a sort of karate-type move. I give them, rub. Yeah, they could have an orgasm if they like you.
Okay.
What's your other question?
You know, if a woman likes you, you can give them an orgasm outside their clothing.
It's a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you can get tested for STDs without, like, paying for it? Or do you have to always pay for them? Is there any way
I imagine you can go to certain county facilities and maybe some Planned Parenthoods, but that's about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's clinics and stuff you can go to that'll take care of that stuff.
I would think.
Yeah. H Street.
Yeah. Hey, the free clinic on Hayes.
Yeah, so for he's in Tampa, Florida. So, I mean, it might be free, but by the time you pay for airfare and everything, hotel accommodations, gratuity and all that kind of stuff, it'll start to add up. Jose?
Yeah.
You're 29?
Yep.
What's up?
Oh, man. I've been with my girl for about 8 years, and in the beginning, I used to cheat on her all the time, and, you know, I never had a problem with ever getting an erection. Well, I took about a year straight without cheating on her, and time went by, and I went out, started meeting other girls. We'd be off and on in the 8 years, 7 years we've been together, and every time it came down to it, I just couldn't get an erection with these other girls, and I don't understand what's up with it, you know?
Well, maybe you feel, God forbid, some guilt at being apart from your girlfriend, or remorse, or maybe you miss her.
And it's horrible because I'm sitting there with these girls, and I mean, I'm.
Did I just talk? Did I was really listening on?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Drew.
Again, maybe you feel some guilt, the remorse, or maybe you actually miss your girlfriend. You're actually connected to her and feel bad about what you're doing.
I know, but my penis doesn't work.
Ted, I mean, I've been like such a player for so many years.
Maybe you're changing.
And see, that's, and she doesn't understand that, and I try to explain to her that I've tried to be with other girls, and I can, and she still thinks I'm this dirty dog, and, you know, she just doesn't. She doesn't want to accept that. I try to explain to her and tell her that.
It must be very reassuring to her to know that you've been in the throes of sex with someone and your penis doesn't work.
Baby, they're blowing me. They got their thumb up my ass. Nothing. I'm telling you. You've got to believe me.
What? So she says I'm romantic. Tell me again.
Yeah, I just try to explain this because, you know, like I said, we've been off and on. And, you know, the times we've been off.
Yeah, right, all right. Okay. But are you on now?
Yeah, we're on now.
All right, well, good. You're on now. And does your penis work with her?
Oh, my penis works with her.
All right, that's it. Your penis is all you need. Your penis is like a divining rod. Just it's showing you where you need, what direction you need to go. Follow it.
And do you think Jose knows what a divining rod is?
I don't think Jose knows
what a penis is. All right, here's the money. Hold on a second. Jose?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
I'm better than you, see.
Now, divining rod, venison.
Veal.
Or veal? What do you say? One for three?
Oh for three.
Or one for three?
One for. Okay.
One for. I'm going one for two. One for. All right. Jose?
Yeah.
Quick quiz, buddy.
Yeah.
Divining rod. Do you know what that is?
Divining rod?
Yeah.
I know what that is.
What does that do?
It functions in bed and makes it gives me pleasure.
The divining rod.
Oh, my rod?
No. Okay.
Let's go 0 for 1.
Okay.
No, next question on our survey.
Okay.
Venison. What kind of meat would venison be?
Venison? I have no idea.
All right.
Give a guess.
What kind of meat?
Yeah. Freddie's going to get it back, Stanley.
Some type of vagina meat? I don't know.
There we go.
All right, vagina meat. And last but not least, what kind of meat is veal?
Veal?
Veal.
Kind of animal.
It's, I believe it's out of not a sheep, but a sheep, yes.
No. Yes? Sheep?
Sheep.
Sheep, you're going with sheep?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jose. Sure. Jose?
Yeah.
Have a good night.
You don't have kids, do you?
No kids.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, good. No kids. And if you do, no homeschooling.
Oh.
Whatever you're doing. Whatever you do, no homeschooling.
Over three.
I don't know. I gotta believe that Anderson tipped it with the sheep sound effect. Although he did say
he was going for sheep before the bah.
Yeah, you're right.
I think if he hadn't said sheep, he would have gone for goat.
Vagina meat.
Rod? Rod? Did you say rod? Well, that's my penis. Lightning rod? Rod?
Yeah. What about lightning rod? Penis. All right. Kevin.
Hello.
You're 21. What's up?
I get random erections. It kind of pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be at work. I work out in a shop at Walmart. And just random.
Yeah.
We have no sympathy. Well, I have no sympathy anyway.
Who cares? Wear jeans.
You should enjoy this because you'll lose it soon enough.
Wear jeans. Look at poor Jose. Can't even cheat on his bitch anymore because his penis won't behave and you're wasting good boners at Walmart. Look, I've said this many times. You wear jeans, and if you want to kill your boner, pull it out, pull it down, flip it up against your belly, and it just sort of kills it. There's nowhere for it to go. There's nothing to push on anymore. You see, Drew disagrees, but one time I really explained it in painful detail,
right.
And he knows what I'm talking about now, right, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Melissa?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, basically, I started doing drugs when I was about 18.
Mm-hmm.
Due to an ex-boyfriend that I had at the time. He got me involved in these drugs. And I've done a lot, and I'm kind of curious as to see what the side effects might be. I've probably done at least 50 to 60 hits of acid, probably 20 to 30 hits of ecstasy. I smoke pot every day, even still now.
Well, the pot is going to be your biggest problem because that's addictive. Uh-huh. But I would expect the other drugs to be giving you symptoms of sort of agoraphobia and social phobia. Are you having trouble going out in crowds and that kind of thing yet?
I'm actually running a house with my boyfriend that I've been dating for about a year and a half now. And we're having a lot of problems getting along and communicating. And
are you having trouble going out and being in social environments? And what's your...
All right, you asked me the question. Loveline recreation. Go ahead.
Are you having trouble going outdoors and feeling anxiety in social situations?
I rent a house with my boyfriend, and we've been having troubles.
Right.
All right. Melissa?
Yes.
You. But what about the question Drew asked you?
Yes, I don't ever go out, so I can't really sit here and say that I have a social disorder, because I don't know. I don't really go out. I sit at home most of the time. I'm unemployed currently.
Right. Wouldn't that be sort of a... I mean, aren't you kind of making Drew's point when he's asking about being agoraphobic?
Yeah, staying home, having trouble going out.
Going out in the crowds and stuff, and you're saying, I don't know because I don't go out? So you kind of...
It's not that I don't want to. I think it's because his boyfriend isn't motivated as well. He also smokes pot.
Okay.
And, you know, to be honest, if I go out, he kind of gets upset.
He gets upset if you go jogging?
No, not necessarily go jogging or exercising, but if I was to go out, maybe dancing or...
All right, well, don't go out dancing. I didn't say dancing. Go out and get some exercise.
Lizzie, you got a whole lot of stuff. Forget the just terribly dysfunctional, abusive relationship you're in. You're addicted to pot. You've exposed your brain to potential neurotoxins. It's just a bad situation. Yeah, just take a look at this. Maybe make some change, huh?
What about a 12-step program?
You go to MA.
Go to MA. All right?
Get out of there.
You
need some relationships away from this primary
relationship. Very fast. Divining rod. Do you know what that is?
No.
What kind of meat is veal?
Forget it.
Come on. Veal.
Veal. Okay.
What kind of meat?
What kind of meat is veal?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
You don't know what kind of animal it comes from?
Cow.
There we go. Yeah. How about venison?
What kind of cow?
I don't know.
Okay.
Give her the cow. She got it.
I don't know. I don't know. That's not veal. And venison, what kind of animal?
Okay. I'm guessing a cow, maybe a pig.
Pig.
All right. Now listen, baby. Go to CA.
Okay.
MA. MA.
Yeah,
go to something with an A in it and get the hell out of the house.
Yeah.
Women. You can't leave the house? Well, I can't go dancing. But what about shopping? We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Well, that's it. Taken here on a Sunday night. I want to thank Jay Blumenfield for coming in and being a good, solid guest. And a hell of a listener during the commercials while Drew and I spout on.
That's what you like best, isn't it?
I like
somebody to actually hear us.
Someone can hold still and listen while I scream about what's going wrong with society.
HBO movie Small Town Ecstasy. Sunday night.
And so help me Christ, I will be watching this. I will TiVo it, and I will watch it when I get home, and I will report back on it Monday. And Drew,
back to report.
I hope you do the same. Yes.
From a hotel room in North Carolina.
That's good radio, that nod. So until next time, it's Adam. Oh, I want to thank Anderson and Lauren and Tara, don't call me Tara, and what the hell, Damien. Yeah, I want to thank all the people doing a great job.
I want to thank you guys for being so great.
Thank you. So, until next time, Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb.